This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Hello, this is Liz, and I'm here with Dr. David Moss from the School of Mathematics from the University of Manchester. He just gave a talk about modelling magnetic fields in the spiral galaxies. Hello, David. Thank you for being with us.
Nice to be here.
Hello. So tell us a little bit about this. How do you model the magnetic fields of spiral galaxies?
The first thing you really need is some good observations to compare your modelling with, because I have a feeling that all astrophysical modelling is only as good as its comparison with observations. Now, our idea is that magnetic fields in spiral galaxies are the result of something we call dynamo theory. Dynamo theory seems to be almost universally important in magnetic astrophysics. For example, it seems to account for the magnetic field of the Sun and how it reverses. It seems to account for the magnetic fields of a number of cool stars which are rather similar to the Sun. But it is also believed that it accounts for magnetic fields in spiral galaxies. The basic idea is that in all of these objects, they rotate, and the rotation depends on distance from the rotation axis. That's what we call differential rotation. These objects also are turbulent, or they maybe have convective motions in. Essentially, bubbles of fluid move around in a quasi-random manner. As these bubbles rise, then they are twisted by the effects of rotation in a similar way to effects in the Earth's atmosphere that generate cyclonic and anticyclonic weather systems. The Coriolis effect, if you've heard of that. It can be shown, has been known now for about 50 or 60 years, that the effects of the differential rotation and these rising gas elements being twisted by the rotation jointly can amplify an existing magnetic field and can also give it large-scale structure. For this mechanism to work, you need a small initial field, but the idea is that when this small initial field is present, it is, under suitable conditions, can be amplified to a larger field, which is what we think we observe in these objects.
Okay, so you start with, so you have a galaxy and you start with very small structure field, and then you amplify that field.
Exactly.
Okay, to make a large structure.
To make a large scale field, which is hopefully looks like what we observe.
Yeah, okay. So observationally, what you see is, so how do you observe these magnetic fields?
The magnetic fields are almost entirely observed by radio astronomers. They look at radio observations which are polarized, and they are polarized by electrons, cosmic ray electrons, encountering a magnetic field, and this information in the polarized emissions can tell us something about the strength of the magnetic field, but more importantly, for our purposes, the direction. We can get more detailed information about the direction of the field also.
Yeah, and so what you observe is mainly that the magnetic field follows the spiral arms, right?
In many cases, we see the magnetic field approximately follows the shape of the spiral arms if the spiral structure is strong enough.
Right.
Explaining why this is one of the key challenges at the moment.
Okay, and why do you think that is?
Why do you have this coincidence?
Yeah.
The problem is not yet resolved. There are different subtle differences between the properties of the gas in galaxies which lies in the spiral arms and what lies between the spiral arms. And it may be and has been thought in the past that this is all that is necessary, that with sufficiently good modelling this will explain it. I personally have the feeling that there are at least two other effects that are important. One is that in galaxies with strong spiral structure, the so-called grand design galaxies, there is, besides the rotational velocities, there are also streaming velocities more or less parallel to the arms. These velocities must have an effect on the field structure. And its simple modelling some time ago showed that this could have the right sort of effect, though it was not sufficient to explain all that was going on. Another idea is that disordered gas motions, turbulence, are preferentially present in the spiral arms and will locally distort the magnetic field. But these spiral arms do not stay always in the same part of the gas. So as the spiral arm moves, it will leave behind this disordered field, which can then be organized by the dynamo action into a smooth field, which occurs preferentially between the arms. Okay. And this is a relatively novel idea, but at the moment it looks quite promising.
Very interesting. Okay, so then you were talking about having this initial field, and you're modeling as a star forming regions that they have very small magnetic field, right?
The star forming regions may actually generate quite strong fields.
Okay,
but the length scale is small; they do not have any large scale organization.
Okay,
so the key thing is how to get from these small-scale disordered fields into large-scale ordered fields,
yeah.
The fields with whose length scale is typically close to that of the galaxy itself.
Yeah, which is roughly... Oh,
10, 20 kiloparsecs.
Yeah, and the star-forming regions are...
Oh, a few hundred parsecs.
Yeah, okay. So, with these star-forming regions, you have... So you put an input of star-forming regions, but then you trigger that, the dynamo effect will take the small length to a bigger scale.
Yes, right? the whole idea about the dynamo is that it converts small-scale field into large-scale field.
Yeah, but then you mentioned you also add more star-forming regions in between.
Well, this is a new development, is okay. That rather than just starting with this mechanism, star-forming regions are continually activated, persist through their lifetime and then die.
Yeah.
And all these things all the time will be generating small scale field and leaving it behind for the dynamo to act on.
Yeah.
And this is why we think the mechanism of the small scale field being present in the spiral arms works, because you need for that it to be continually injected into the spiral arms.
Yeah, it was one of the things you mentioned that I was a bit interested about. You said that less star-forming, in one of the models, less star-forming regions creates more open spiral arms. Have you seen, compare this with observations?
No,
or?
We haven't yet. No, it's,
okay.
It's, I mean, obviously this is all quite new work, and we've,
okay.
I'm trying to collaborate with people who are pretty busier than myself in the sense that they're still employed and they have other things to do. So we're making slow progress on this.
Okay. Right. So you mentioned two different theories that could explain this large structure field. Was the fossil field or the dynamo origin, right? So could you explain a little bit more about these two theories?
Well, the idea of the fossil field theory, which probably was the earlier one, is that in the early stages of the universe's formation, somehow or other, very weak magnetic fields were generated. And there are a number of mechanisms to do this that have been suggested, but most of them produce extremely weak fields. The strongest but perhaps quite unlikely mechanism would produce a field of a trillionth of a Gauss.
Okay.
But given we have this field present, as the galaxy forms, it will sweep up the pre-existing field and galaxies do not rotate uniformly, and therefore they will wind the field up into a spiral. Now, as this the winding up carries on, the spiral gets tighter and tighter, and what is called the pitch angle of the spiral gets smaller and smaller. Pitch angle of a circle is zero, so we get pretty close to that.
Okay.
But we observe pitch angles which are about 10 or 20 degrees, which is maybe even more, maybe even 30 degrees. So this is a bad prediction of fossil theory.
Okay.
There are other more technical objections, such as the overall geometry of the field looks like it will be wrong. It's difficult to explain that without a piece of paper.
Okay.
If you take the simplest form of dynamo theory, then it automatically gives pitch angles which are approximately of the right size without any fine tuning, and also it gives the correct geometry, approximately the correct geometry. So the two together are strong arguments for some form of dynamo theory being appropriate.
Okay. The other thing that you mentioned in the talk was the reverse field. Is that has been observed?
In the Milky Way, our own galaxy, there with very high probability, there is what is called a large-scale field reversal. That is, if you try to map the field of the galaxy, as you move radially, the circular component, this component in the tangential direction, changes, reverses sign. And this, with high probability, is claimed to occur at least once in our galaxy. There are claims that it occurs more often, but these are increasingly uncertain. Now that can be explained by certain models, but the problem is that such reversals are not seen in any external galaxy. It's hard to believe that the Milky Way is unique.
Yeah.
So the question is, why do we not observe these? And it may be that there are various effects due to the fact we're looking down into the disks of these galaxies and not seeing quite the same component of the magnetic field as we see in the Milky Way when we're already in the disk. So it's possible that external galaxies could have reversals in the disk only, but they are obscured by magnetic fields that lie above and below the disk.
Yeah. Thank you very much, David, for the interview, and hope we can get more ideas of this and you can let us know later.
I would be grateful for some ideas from you as well.
Thank you.
Okay.
Cheers.